Peter chapter 5, we're going to consider the first four verses this morning under the heading of the Good Shepherd, the Great Shepherd. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 4, and I'm going to read 1-7 as we begin. First Peter 5. The elders who are among you, I exhort, who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed, shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, not willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to your flock. When the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Likewise, you young people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another, and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud, and gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon him. He cares for you. We believe, O Lord, that you have spoken, you've given us text for our blessing today and for our understanding of your ways among the flock that you said that you would save, and you've given a Savior in Jesus Christ. I pray in his name. Amen. 45 years ago, Don and I were starting the date. And we were in college, and we had one of the most wonderful field trips anybody could have. We took a college field trip to the land of Israel. And we made a flight, and that's another thing to each other. And when we got over the Alps, flying eastward to the Middle East, it was on the Arabian, it was a Jordanian airline. And here I sat with this cute blonde and her blonde sister. And the Arab pilot picked those girls and said, would you like to see the panoramic vision of the Alps from the cockpit? He said, well, I'm a little bored over here. And I knew Nellie was the girl today when she said, I'd like to see it if my boyfriend would come with me. So, what a good view of the flying over the Alps there. And we had a great time in the Holy Land, seeing wonderful spots, Old Testament, New Testament. Land on the ground there, and our guide is waiting for us after our first night's rest there, and the bus was there, and he's there, he's kind of going with us, he's friendly, he's greeting people, and we took us to the most beautiful spot, he talked to us about the place on the bus, but then when we got off the bus, always make sure to get those tourists back on the bus, don't want to leave anybody behind in a strange land. And then after an exhausting day, take us back to a hotel. Have a nice dinner at the hotel. If you do, it was a nice night, and there he was. Again, the next morning, all smiles, ready to take us off again. And it's also a picture of a spiritual shepherd, a warm shepherd, knowledgeable shepherd, knows where to take us, what to stay about the place. And I would never compare your pastor to a tour guide. I would never compare the great shepherd, Jesus, to the Lord. It's a picture of what we look for. The analogy is something friendly, knowledgeable, caring, leaving nobody behind, and everybody back to the place of safety in the evening, back to the sheepfold. Here we have this text, especially verses 1 through 4. Picture of what really a pastor and elders of the flock should be. And if you were looking at perhaps calling a new pastor, your future, and something to cross-check to say, here's what we're looking for, is a pastor who is going to care for the flock. We don't have the word pastor here as a noun. We've got the verb a couple times. Shepherd the flock in verse 2, and we've got elder in verse 5, and then we do have the noun in verse 4, the chief shepherd. But when we talk about the shepherd, the pastor, the chief pastor, the Lord Jesus himself, who guides and he directs his work, but he also guides by the Spirit, he guides the leaders and the essential of the church, and how to carry out the ministry. It's interesting that we're called sheep when it comes to our relationship with Jesus. We're the sheep of his pasture. And who writes this but the big fisherman? Peter, he saw sheep around the hills of Galilee, but his interest, his occupation, is fishing. And even after he embarrassed himself, he betrayed the Lord at the crucifixion of Jesus. Jesus appeared on Easter Sunday to the disciples. Peter was there. Jesus appeared the next Sunday to the disciples. And then John 21, verse 3, Peter says, "I'm going fishing." And he goes, he leaves Jerusalem, he goes back up to Galilee, says, "This is what I am, this is what I want to do." And what about that? Jesus said, "You're going to be fishing again, Peter." "Well, I'm going fishing." And then there's Jesus on the shore, the resurrected Christ, waiting to greet them. And you remember the rest of the story where he talks to Peter. He says, "Peter, he didn't say Peter, you're a fisherman." He does say, "Peter, feed my sheep. Peter, feed my lambs. Feed my sheep." You think that's all you want to do is, "I'm going fishing?" You're going to be a shepherd from now on. He says, Peter has a vineyard. He says, "I also am an elder." He says, "The elders have the work of pastoring, shepherding." And so it's interesting that there's even a transformation in somebody like Peter. He's been sanctified by the Lord Jesus Christ by proper instruction, but also by proper conviction in his heart. We are sheep. We need shepherding, we need spiritual guidance. I'm listening to a book right now by Senator from Nebraska. He wrote a book about shrinking adulthood in America. And a lot of that has to do with, he's thinking of screen time. People just living on screens with recreation instead of interacting, taking responsibility, they don't want to be entertained. But here is the case of needing gentle shepherding. And we need mature people who can come alongside the congregation when the congregation is hurting, or when the congregation is making decisions, making some spiritual guidance. And we need the wisdom of the collected elders to say, here are the options, here's the best way to go. And this, by the way, this is what the Bible recommends in a case such as this or such as that. But we need shepherding and care for ourselves. But he started talking about these millennials. And he says the millennials have half of them say, "I think making moral judgments is up to me. I have to make my own moral judgments. And so I don't have to listen to church, I don't have to listen to politicians. Maybe you don't even have to listen to law enforcement about what's right and wrong." And so, the millennials have to say that they are wrong themselves. And we're saying, the Bible says, they need a shepherd for their souls. They need spiritual cultivation. They need to be washed by the Word of God. We really have two sets of what life is all about. And what they're doing here and where they're going beyond this life. So there is this need for shepherding. And the tender shepherd, verse 3 says, pastors can't be like lords over the flock, or can't be like cattle drivers cracking a whip. And sometimes pastors saying, "Can I just be a better pastor, the sheep will fall better?" It's really the other way around. Pastors have to be what God wants those pastors to be, despite whether there's a popularity contest or a popularity of following or not. It's just a matter of obedience to them. Looking for success on a worldly level. There's a need for tender shepherds. Pastors are God's gifts to the flock. Ephesians 4 says that. Ephesians 4 starts out talking about Jesus rose from the dead, he ascends into heaven. When he ascended into heaven, he gave gifts to men. And you know what those gifts were? Verse 11 says those gifts were apostles, prophets, evangelists, and pastor teachers. Pastor teachers are a gift to the church. So we talk about teaching elders, we talk about leadership. Teaching of the pastor is to train the flock to do the work of ministry. And that's found in Ephesians 4, verse 12. That's all of us need to be doing ministry in our community and to one another here in the church. But you're a pastor because God cares for us. He says, you're important to me. I want you to go. And so I've given you guys to call them pastors. So as sheep, you're gathered. We're gathered into small flocks. Here's our small flock here in Maine, California. It's called Trinity Bible Restoration. That's really a small flock. We have 10 people in the church right now. But they have promise. And so Presbyterian is working with them, sending preachers out there, trying to gather a flock in. But small flocks. And let's talk here in 1 Peter 5, 1 and 2. The elders who are among you, so these elders are dealing with each congregation. Verse 2, you elders shepherd the flock of God which is among you. So we can't always shepherd the flock in the town next door, but in our neighborhood, in our community. That's where the rules are, because those elders do the best work because they know the sheep the best in their local area. So we're gathered in small flocks. But there's a bigger picture here. It's not just my little congregation and no more. Jesus talks about a big picture of the big flock, and that's found in John 10, when he's talking about, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life as sheep. Actually, the Gospel of John 10, verse 16, Jesus says, other sheep I have which are not of this fold. So he's increasing his fold right there, these Hebrews, Jews. He says, I have other sheep besides this fold. Them I must also bring. They will hear my voice. There will be one flock and one shepherd. Of course, Jesus is the one shepherd, but what's the one flock? That's the Church of Christ. And we're thankfully by his having us in his plan and his life. He's gathered us one by one, changing our hearts, gathering us into this flock, into the larger flock. So even us Gentiles can come in and be part of this eternal plan of God that some will be saved out of the world. And it's a beautiful picture. You and I are gathered to be a sheep. Isn't it nice that we're not part of the church? Well, I go to church because my family is part of the church. My family, I grew up in church, and I've never done anything else. That's one reason to go to church. The big reason is that Christ has called you to be a member of his flock. To share that identity of being lamb of Christ or sheep of Christ. Sometimes we have wayward sheep. Jesus said, I will go after that. That one sheep, that one that's climbed up in the hills off down in the briars, I will go after one sheep, leaving the 99 people. It's all part of his gathering into one flock. So we're not surprised that Jesus is the chief shepherd, verse 4 here. Going back to verse Peter. I've got my finger John 10. I'll go back to John 10. He says in verse 4, Peter writes, when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Jesus, the chief shepherd. Isn't it nice to be pastored by people that know you locally, people who have worked with you for a number of years? This passage right here is a big reason why we don't have a pope in our denomination. It's a big reason why we don't have Archbishop Canterbury, because the Bible teaches that Jesus is the chief shepherd. He alone is the head of the church. So, we've seen what happens when you have one man trying to be the head of the worldwide church. looking at church history. She brings all kinds of miseries, tyrannies, and beyond the span of that one lesson. Well, you might even have a good man. Go back to the 600s. Now, Pope Gregory gives Gregorian chants. He tries to do a good job. Then he's supposed, but overall, it's just kind of a trail of tears to look at. We've got one man say, I'm the head of the church. So we relish spiritual freedom that comes by saying, I answer to the chief shepherd alone. I answer to Christ alone. And that's where my spiritual freedom is found. So it's a wonderful thing. But then still, Jesus has these under shepherds underneath his chief and shepherd. It's a beautiful picture. Let's take a look quickly at 1 Peter chapter 2. This talks about Jesus being not only the chief shepherd. But look at verse 25, the last verse of 1 Peter 2. We were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseers of your soul. We were wandering, but here, my Bible says, returning to the shepherd, that's capitalized, my Bible. And it has to be capitalized because it's talking about returning to Jesus. He's the one who cares for my soul. He's the one who works in my heart. And he's the one who guides me. And if we think that we can go off and be sheep on our own, always get into trouble. But if we love the shepherd, and the shepherd loves us, that's what it's all kinds of proof of us to take healing and joy. Aren't you glad that the Bible does not describe Jesus as the paper, the cattle driver, or the Bible doesn't call you and me a bunch of cats? You've got a group of cats and you're trying to get them to work in the room. Well, not the picture, the sheep. Sheep is a picture that fits how we are spiritually. It's also a picture that fits the shepherd who lays down his life for us. It's a beautiful picture. And he knows us and he cares. And so, going back to John 10, verse 11, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. He did that. He laid down his life for you and me. He didn't lay down his life just as an example or as a victim of conspiracy. He laid down his life because he wanted to. Because he knew that there were sheep out there that needed to be saved from their sin and from death itself. He calls us all by name. John 10, verse 3. He says, the sheep hear my voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. That's the good shepherd. So, the good shepherd, he's a personal shepherd. He's a personal savior. He knows of all about us. He knows what we've got to hang in. He knows what hair that falls on our head. Whatever it may be, he knows all about it. He knows about it before it happens. But when it does happen, he knows and he cares. And that's going back to 1 Peter 5 or 7. Sometimes we're, because God knows, God is big as he is, busy as he is, because he knows that my heart is breaking. And we're reminded in 1 Peter 5 and 7 that he cares. He knows us by name, casting all your care upon him, because he does care for you. So, how do you cast care upon him? Give him prayer. It's a privilege of prayer to just talk to the Lord. Say, Lord, this is a pretty big burden I'm handling right now. I talk to my friends, and they can't do much misery, but I'm talking to you and asking you to share this burden with me. Begin to lift this burden from me. Begin to give me strength to bear it with you. And we should never think that Jesus is too far away, that he doesn't know, he doesn't care. But God does care. And Ezekiel 34 says, he's going to save his flock. Save us out of troubles, but he's going to hold us. He's the ultimate salvation from sin, death, and judgment. hurts himself. But Karen said, he proves his care by living for us. He proves his care by dying for us, dying in our place on the cross. He can bear our burdens, carry our sorrows, so we can go to him in prayer with great confidence, knowing that he does care. As we say, here I am, God, it's me again. It's me again, Lord. There is tired here in our tears as we come to him in prayer. And if he cares for us, we should care for one another. We should weep with those who weep, rejoice with those who rejoice. But even as Jesus commanded us to forgive one another, as he forgave us, we should forgive one another. As Jesus says, love one another as I have loved you, we need to love one another. And as he cares for us, we need to care for one another. That's such an important part of the church, caring for one another, caring for the community, that Christ has institutionalized charity and caring in the office of the deacon. They didn't have the status office of the deacon in the Old Testament, but now we've institutionalized mercy doing in the Old Testament. Jesus is the only chief shepherd, the only great shepherd. He has appointed these under shepherds on our level that are here to accompany us. Verses 1 to 3, verse 2 to 5, talk about the elders, verse 1. Shepherding, verse 2. Verse 3, not being lords. These pastors are examples, the elders are examples. And being an example means you've got to have yourself under control. And not just because somebody might see you slipping up under control for Christ's sake, because Christ sees the leaders all the time. So being examples of the flock. And here are these pastors and elders, they're to gather and guide the sheep, train the lambs, pioneer missionaries, we've got a new missionary church member, Pastor Andy Vaughn, trying to gather us all right now. So he recognized that that's the work of God, the call of God. And you do that for the Lord's sake. I like that verse 3, which says, not as being the Lord, so those who trust in you. There's a stewardship here. It's there that the flock is given in the hands of these leaders. And the flock is supposed to follow all the leaders as they follow Christ, for sure. But they are entrusted. The flock is entrusted. It's the stewardship these leaders have. And the leaders are going to have to give an answer for how they lead and how they pray for the flock. And it may not be, Hebrews 13 verse 17 says, leaders don't want to have to be embarrassed at the day of judgment. Follow us as much as possible because we want to give a good account to the Lord on that final judgment day. And so, there have been pastors through history who they look at the sheep as lords, I'm the Lord, you're the sheep. The sheep are just there for the wool, or at least the sheep. Sometimes the sheep are just there for the meat, for the ravage. Sheep from the midst. But that's not the tone or the message at all of spiritual shepherding. And doesn't that say something about the integrity of the Christian faith? That everything hangs together so beautifully that we are concerned about spiritual things, we are concerned about the most important thing in the world, which is the soul, concerned about people. We want to help hurting people. We're not here to exploit or take advantage of what we need. Christianity is all about in weakness confounding the strong, in foolishness confounding the worldly wise. And so the flock hangs together because sheep, by nature, are weak. And we recognize that. We recognize we need spiritual guidance and spiritual growth and uplifting through coming to church and being with God's people week to week. So this is a loving relationship. in the thought between Christ and his people, and between people and people, where we want to care for one another. Between people and people, we all same sheepfold here. We all keep the same pasture spiritually. And we try to keep each other warm in the sheepfold at night, and we go out and go to the pastures to the week. And then finally, we see the love of Christ, we see the example of Christ for the leaders of the church. And there's supposed to be really a sacrificial kind of pastor going on. So Peter says in verse 1 of chapter 5, I am an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ. He doesn't say anything about pastoral suffering, but he says, I am a witness of the sufferings of Christ. And if Jesus is the chief shepherd, and the chief shepherd is willing to lay down his life for his sheep, and the chief shepherd is willing to suffer shame and ignominy for the sheep, not for himself, that's really what the pastor is the ultimate church called to, not following the example of Christ in that way. Pointing back real quick to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 21. The elders in our message gave an example of the flock, verse 3. Here, in verse Peter 2, verse 21, to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. So, you see why Peter says in verse 6, humble yourselves. Humble yourself before the hand of Almighty God. He will lift you up. If you suffer for Jesus' sake, verse Peter 2 is all about that. If you suffer for Jesus' sake, verse Peter 2 and 3, it's okay to suffer for Jesus' sake. But the leaders have followed the example of Christ who suffered for us, giving us an example. And then the leaders of the church work sacrificially for the church. And then more and more sheep say, we can be sacrificial also. We can dig a little deeper to support family, or mission work here, or emergency there, you can dig a little deeper. Because it's a work that's not in pain. One of our work is I'm not in pain for the Lord. Peter was a witness of the sufferings of Christ. That changed my life. But you know what else he said in verse 1? We saw Christ suffer the reproaches of his ministry and finding to be tortured and his death. He says, I am also partaker of the glory that will be revealed. This glory is coming. And then he spells that out in verse 4. The chief shepherd appears. You will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. I am a partaker in that glory that's going to be revealed. You sheep are partaker. We don't have a hierarchy where the pastor is going to get the crown, but the sheep don't get it. No, it says the chief shepherd appears. All the sheep get a crown of glory, a glorious crown that does not fade away. And it's a beautiful picture of suffering now, but better ones tonight. We know that because Christ says it. We know that because Jesus says so. Jesus sealed it with his resurrection from the dead, saying, your resurrection is tied to my resurrection. A better world, a better life is coming. We're going to share his glory. So when the chief shepherd appears, he's going to do the final ingathering. 1 Thessalonians 4, meet the Lord in the air. But those that are sleeping will rise to raise and meet the Lord in the air. Those that are alive remain. And that's that. They meet the Lord in the air. And there's a great ingathering to the chief shepherd. And he's coming to give his rewards. He's going to write all longs. He's going to glorify his saints to make not only Peter, but maybe you would be partakers of heavenly glory. You're going to need a new body. If you're going to stand in the glorious presence of heaven, you're going to need a new body. And he's going to give you a new body. In this world, we have wolves, death, disease, curse itself. But there's going to be heavenly glory. It's going to be revealed for you, for the Lord. And then, this will be no more built on us in Wales. He's going to be a great shepherd forever. He's going to shepherd your soul that we can know and approach because he loves and cares for sheep. May the Lord give us grace to love Christ more and more, give us grace to follow Christ and be obedient, and to recognize that we follow Him first, and we follow our own elders and pastors as they follow the Lord. The Lord, do not let us as orphans, but as you've adopted us into your family. Thank you for the order and direction you give us now. Give gifts to men to lead and to shepherd the flock of God. So that you'll make us faithful and our following you. Help us to grow and praise in God. In Jesus' name.